A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
So Daniel writes in with a follow-on from the box through the window episode, and this one starts with what I'd call a moment of physical honesty. He's moved into the new apartment, the outdoor overflow storage is gone, everything has to come inside, and the Eurobox system we talked about is now stacked on shelving running 2.5 to 3 meters tall. A loaded box weighs 15 to 25 kilos, and his opening observation is that the standard answer, use a ladder, is dangerous when you're alone. You're 2 meters up, pulling a heavy box toward your chest, then climbing back down one-handed with your center of gravity somewhere out in front of you.
And he's right that putting them back up is arguably the worst half. Going up with a box is worse than coming down with one, because you're working against gravity the entire time and you can't see your feet.
So he's asking us to start with the professional world before improvising. What does warehousing actually do when humans need things from high storage? What do the formal manual handling guidelines say about lifting above shoulder height and carrying loads on ladders? Then work down to what could realistically live in a rented apartment where you can't bolt into structure. He wants us to test a manual stacker, a wall-mounted hoist, a counterweighted dumbwaiter, a lift table that only does the bottom half of the journey, or the simplest option, designing the storage so heavy boxes never go above shoulder height at all. And he's explicitly told us to be straight about which of these is over-engineering.
He's asking the right question. Before we improvise, let's see what the people who move boxes for a living have already figured out. Because they've spent 100 years solving exactly this problem, and the principles transfer directly.
So where do we even start?
We start by understanding what this actually is. The storage system itself is settled. The Euroboxes work, the shelving works, the industrial storage part is done. What's failing is the interface between human and shelf at height. And that's a materials handling problem, which is a discipline that exists precisely because people kept hurting themselves doing exactly what Daniel's describing.
And there's a hidden third character in this whole thing, which is the rental constraint. He's got limited floor space, good vertical space, but he can't bolt into walls or ceilings without permission, can't install permanent equipment, and can't cut into structure. So every solution has to be freestanding or reversible. That's not a minor footnote. That eliminates a huge chunk of the professional toolkit immediately.
Right, and this matters far beyond Daniel's apartment. Every home with tall shelving has this exact problem. The default solution is unsafe ladder behavior, reaching, stretching, pulling heavy things toward your chest. What we're really doing here is asking what best practice looks like when you scale it down to a single person in a rental.
So the arc of this episode is straightforward. First, what professionals do and why. Second, what the safety research actually says about the limits. Third, testing the home solutions against the rental reality. Then Hilbert has a story from his warehouse days that I think is going to land harder than either of us expects. Then the verdict.
Let's get into the professional toolkit first, because the principles there are what everything else hangs on. And I want to be clear about something up front. The professional world has essentially decided that humans shouldn't lift heavy things above their shoulders. Full stop. The entire industry is built around that conclusion.
Let's go through the toolkit then. What's actually in a modern warehouse?
The first thing is the vertical lift module, or VLM. This is the big automated cabinet, sometimes called a vertical carousel. It's essentially a giant enclosed shelving unit with a central extractor mechanism. The machine brings the stored tray or box down to an ergonomic access window at waist height. The operator never climbs anything, never reaches above shoulder height, never has to catch a falling box. The entire vertical journey is done by the machine, and the human only handles the box at a safe height.
And Daniel already flagged these as obviously beyond any Homan budget, size, and weight. He's right. These are industrial machines that cost tens of thousands of dollars and weigh several tons, but the principle is the important part. The machine does the vertical journey. The human does the handling at a safe height.
And that principle repeats across the whole toolkit. Next, you've got stackers. Semi-electric and manual stackers use a mast with hydraulic or mechanical lift to raise a platform or forks. The operator loads the box at floor level, then the machine raises it. The operator only handles horizontal movement at a safe height. Manual stackers are actually shockingly affordable for what they do. You can get a basic manual stacker with a 500-pound capacity for somewhere in the $300 to $800 range. Search for manual stacker 500-pound capacity or winch lift table and you'll find them.
And the key distinction, there's straddle versus counterbalance designs. A straddle stacker has legs that go around the pallet or load, which makes it stable but requires floor space on either side. A counterbalance stacker has the weight at the back to balance the load at the front, which means it can get closer to shelving, but it's heavier and needs more room to maneuver. Neither of those is trivial in a small apartment.
Then you've got scissor lift tables. These raise the load to the operator rather than the operator to the load. You put the box on the table at floor height, pump the hydraulic pedal, and the table rises to whatever height you need. The operator never climbs anything. Scissor lift tables come in all sizes, from tiny benchtop units to massive industrial platforms. A small one rated for a couple hundred kilos is a few hundred dollars.
And order pickers are the opposite. Those raise the person to the load. That's the ladder problem mechanized. You're standing on a platform that goes up, and then you're reaching for the box at height. It's safer than a ladder because you have a platform and guardrails, but it's still fundamentally asking a person to handle a load above shoulder height. The professional world uses order pickers, but they're generally the least preferred option for heavy items precisely because they don't solve the ergonomic problem.
And vacuum lift assists are the most interesting one from a principal standpoint. A vacuum tube with a suction head attaches to the box or item, and the vacuum does the actual lifting. The operator just guides the load. They're common in warehouses for bags, boxes, and sheet materials. The principle is that the machine carries the weight and the human only steers. That's the ideal division of labor.
So the unifying principle across all of these is what you said. Professional solutions almost never ask a person to lift above shoulder height. The machine does the vertical work. The human does the horizontal work at a safe height. And that's not just convention. That's written into the formal guidance.
This is where the NIOASH lifting equation comes in. NIOASH is the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. Their lifting equation is the standard tool for evaluating whether a lift is safe. It multiplies several factors together to get a recommended weight limit. The load constant, the horizontal distance from the body, the vertical position, the travel distance, the asymmetry, the frequency, and the coupling quality.
And the vertical position multiplier is the one that matters here. At Florida knuckle height, which is roughly 75 centimeters, the multiplier is at its maximum, 1.0. As you go higher, it drops. By the time you're above shoulder height, around 175 centimeters, the multiplier has dropped dramatically. The recommended weight limit at that height is a small fraction of what it's at waist height.
The practical translation is that a 20-kilo box that's perfectly safe to lift from a shelf at waist height becomes formally unsafe to lift from a shelf at head height. The equation doesn't just say it's harder. It says the safe limit drops to a fraction of what it was. And above shoulder height, the multiplier approaches zero. The formal guidance is simply that lifting above shoulder height should be avoided or minimized entirely.
So that's the lifting side. Now the ladder side. And this is where Daniel's instinct was exactly right. He said climbing down with a box one-handed with your center of gravity out in front of you is slightly dangerous. The formal guidance says it's not slightly dangerous. It's prohibited.
OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, issued a standard interpretation letter in 1992 on exactly this question. The letter confirms that carrying loads on ladders is prohibited when it prevents the worker from maintaining 3 points of contact. 3 points of contact means 2 feet and one hand, or 2 hands and 1 foot, always in contact with the ladder. A heavy Euro box being pulled toward your chest at 2 meters up inherently breaks that rule. You need both hands for the box, which means you have no hands for the ladder.
The recognized safe limit for carrying anything up a ladder is effectively zero if it requires both hands or shifts your center of gravity. There's no clever technique that makes it safe. The rule isn't be careful. The rule is don't do it.
The professional answer to vertical transport is to separate the vertical journey, done by a machine, from the human handling, done at a safe height. The question for Daniel is, what's the cheapest, most rental-friendly way to achieve that separation for a 15 to 25 kilo box over 2.5 to 3 meters?
That's the pivot. The professional principles are clear. Now we test the home solutions against the rental reality. And I want to start with the anchoring problem, because that kills the wall-mounted hoist before we even get to the parts list.
Let's talk about that, because it's the one Daniel specifically asked about, and it's the one that sounds most appealing on paper, a wall-mounted or shelf-integrated hoist using a hand winch or block and tackle. You mount a pulley or winch above the shelf, run a cable down, hook it to the box, and crank it up. Sounds simple.
The problem is the forces involved. A 25 kilo box on a 2-to-1 block and tackle puts 50 kilos of force on the anchor point. On a 4-to-1, it's 100 kilos. That's the static load. When you're cranking and the box shifts or snags, you get dynamic loads that can spike well above that. And standard rental drywall or studs won't safely support that without significant reinforcement.
Here's the thing about rentals. You can't cut into the structure. You can't open the wall to add blocking between studs. You can't throw bolt into a concrete column without permission. You can't install the kind of anchor that would actually be rated for that load. A toggle bolt in drywall is rated for maybe 20 or 30 kilos in tension if you're lucky. 100 kilos of force on a toggle bolt in drywall isn't a question of if it fails, it's when.
The failure mode is the scary part. The anchor doesn't fail slowly. It rips out of the wall suddenly, and now you've got a 25 kilo box falling from 2.5 meters with a cable whipping behind it. That's worse than the ladder problem by a wide margin. The ladder problem is a back injury waiting to happen. The failed anchor problem is a head injury waiting to happen.
The wall-mounted hoist is out for a rental unless you can find a freestanding frame to mount it to. And at that point, you've essentially built a stacker anyway, so you might as well buy a stacker.
Which brings us to the manual stacker or winch-operated lift truck. Daniel asked about this specifically, and it's commercially available. Search for manual stacker, 500-pound capacity, or winch lift table, and you'll find units in the $300 to $800 range. A basic manual stacker has a mast, a platform or forks, and either a hydraulic foot pump or a hand winch to raise the load. You load the box at floor level, pump it up to shelf height, then slide it across.
The principle is exactly right. This is the professional answer scaled down. The machine does the vertical journey, the human does the horizontal transfer at a safe height. A manual stacker rated for 250 kilos would handle a 25 kilo Eurobox with a 10-to-1 safety margin.
The problem is the footprint. A straddle stacker needs legs that go around the load, which means it's wider than the box and needs clear floor space on both sides. A counterbalance stacker needs weight at the back, which means it's longer and heavier. Both of them need a flat, clear path from wherever they're stored to wherever the shelving is. And in a small apartment, that path doesn't exist.
The failure pattern here isn't mechanical, it's behavioral. The stacker is bulky enough that it lives in a corner and never gets used. Every time Daniel needs a box from the top shelf, he looks at the stacker, thinks about dragging it out, positioning it, pumping it up, transferring the box, lowering it, and putting the stacker back. And then he grabs the ladder and does it the unsafe way because it's faster. The machine that never gets used is worse than no machine at all because it costs money and floor space.
The stacker is technically viable but practically doomed in a small apartment. Now the counterweighted dumbwaiter style carriage on a rail. This is the most elegant engineering solution, and I'll say that up front. A carriage running on a rail up the side of the shelving with a counterweight means the motor or winch only handles the difference in weight, not the full load. If the box weighs 25 kilos and the counterweight weighs 20, the winch only has to move 5 kilos. That's beautiful engineering.
It is, and it's also the most over-engineered solution for a rental. It requires rail systems, precise alignment, counterweight travel space, and a mounting structure that can handle the full load, plus the counterweight, plus the dynamic forces. You can't bolt the rail to the wall because of the rental constraint. You'd have to build a freestanding frame, which is essentially building a piece of industrial equipment in your living room.
The failure pattern is dangerous. A misaligned carriage jams, or worse, drops a 25 kilo box. The counterweight is moving in the opposite direction, so if the box side fails, you've got a 20 kilo counterweight falling one way and a 25 kilo box falling the other way. That's a lot of kinetic energy in a small space.
You can't test it properly without permanent installation. A dumbwaiter needs to be aligned, leveled, and secured before you trust it with a real load. In a rental, you'd be testing it on a temporary frame and hoping it holds. That's not a test, that's a gamble.
The dumbwaiter is out for a rental, which brings us to the lift table that only handles the bottom half of the journey, and this is where I think the pragmatic middle ground actually lives.
Let's talk about this one properly, because it's the first solution that actually aligns with the professional guidance instead of fighting it. A small scissor lift table, or even a simple platform on a hand winch, raises the box from floor level to about 1.2 to 1.5 meters. That's shoulder height. At that point, you transfer the box to the shelf at a safe height, using the lifting technique that the NIOSH equation actually approves of.
The top shelf then only ever holds light, bulky things. Heavy boxes never go above shoulder height. This aligns with the NIOSH guidance without requiring permanent installation. A small scissor lift table is freestanding, movable, and doesn't need to be bolted to anything.
The parts here are actually straightforward. A small scissor lift table rated for 200 kilos costs somewhere in the $200 to $400 range. Search for small scissor lift table or hydraulic lift cart. You want one with a platform that's at least 60 by 40 centimeters to match the Eurobox footprint. The hydraulic ones have a foot pedal, which is fine because you're not lifting the box by hand, you're pumping the pedal. The box does the vertical journey on the table.
There's an even cheaper version, which is just a platform on a hand winch mounted to a freestanding frame. A simple hand winch rated for 250 kilos is $30 to $50. A basic steel frame can be built from slotted angle iron or even heavy-duty shelving uprights. The winch raises the platform from floor to shoulder height, and the whole thing lives next to the shelving when not in use.
The tools for that build are a drill, a socket set, and a level, maybe a hacksaw if you need to cut the frame to size. Total cost for the winch and frame version is maybe $100 to $150 if you build the frame yourself. The scissor lift table is more expensive, but it's a finished product with no assembly and a proper safety rating.
But here's the thing. Even the lift table is treating the symptom. And this is where the redesign option comes in, which is the professional answer translated to home. Warehouses don't store heavy items on top shelves. They store them in what's called the golden zone, between knuckle and shoulder height. The top shelves in a warehouse hold light, bulky items. Bedding, seasonal decorations, empty boxes. Heavy items stay in the golden zone.
The golden zone principle requires no mechanism at all. It's just a rule about what goes where. The top 1.5 meters of shelving only holds light, bulky things. Heavy boxes live between knee and shoulder height. Nothing over about 5 to 8 kilos goes above shoulder height. That's it. That's the entire system.
The honest verdict, which Daniel explicitly asks us to give, is that a good ladder plus a strict rule about what goes on. The top shelf beats every mechanism for most cases. But the rule has to be strict, and the ladder has to be the right type.
Let's talk about the ladder first, because there's a right answer and a lot of wrong answers. The wrong answer is an A-frame ladder that you climb with a box in your arms. The right answer is a proper stepladder with a platform, sometimes called a platform ladder or a podium ladder. These have a wide, flat platform at the top that you stand on with both feet, and a guardrail or at least a high handrail. They're rated for the load, they're stable, and they give you a proper working position.
A good platform ladder rated for 150 kilos costs somewhere in the $100 to $200 range. Search for platform stepladder or podium ladder. You want one that gets you to about 1.5 meters standing height, which puts your shoulders at about 2 meters, which is exactly where the top shelf transfer happens. And you never carry a box up or down the ladder. You climb up empty-handed, pull the box from the shelf, hand it down to a helper, or set it on the platform, then climb down and lift it from the platform. Or for putting boxes up, you lift the box to the platform, climb up, then lift it from the platform to the shelf.
That's the key insight. The ladder isn't for carrying boxes. The ladder is for getting yourself to the right height so you can do a safe lift at shoulder height. The box never travels with you on the ladder. It travels separately, either handed off or staged on the platform.
The rule about what goes on the top shelf is the design part. Heavy boxes never go above shoulder height. Light, bulky things live at 3 meters. That's not a compromise. That's the professional answer. Warehouses have been doing exactly this for decades. The golden zone is between knuckle and shoulder height. Everything else is either light or handled by a machine.
The verdict is actually 3-tiered. First, redesign the storage so heavy boxes stay in the golden zone. That's free, and it's the single biggest safety improvement. Second, if you need to move heavy boxes vertically on a regular basis, a small scissor lift table or a winch platform that handles the bottom half of the journey is the pragmatic mechanical solution. Third, a platform ladder for the light items on the top shelf, with the strict rule that nothing heavy ever goes up there.
The moment you need to move a 20-kilo box from a 3-meter shelf alone, you've already failed the design. The mechanism is treating the symptom, not the cause. The cause is that a heavy box is on a top shelf, and the fix is to not put it there.
There's a story about a warehouse in Slough that I think is relevant here, and it's not about the equipment at all.
Go on.
Hilbert worked for a summer back in 1994 as a warehouse assistant at a mail order catalog company in Slough. The picking system was entirely manual. Trolleys, ladders, and a supervisor who enforced a no climbing with boxes rule by threatening to dock pay. And he remembers the one time he saw a colleague try to carry a heavy box down a ladder. The supervisor's reaction wasn't a safety lecture. It was a story about a guy who had done the same thing and spent 6 weeks off with a back injury.
The rule wasn't about the ladder at all. It was about the box weight.
The warehouse had a simple color coding system. The heaviest items were always stored on the bottom two shelves. The top shelves only ever held light stock like pillowcases and catalog returns. And Hilbert has been waiting this whole episode to point out that Daniel's Eurobox system already has the answer built in. The boxes are standard sizes, so you can weigh them once and color code the lids. The rule becomes visual rather than remembered.
That's actually brilliant. A red lid marker means heavy, lives below shoulder height. A green marker means light, can go up top. You don't have to remember which box is heavy. You can see it from across the room.
That's exactly how professional warehouses actually enforce storage decisions. They don't rely on people remembering which items are heavy. They make it visual. Color-coded bins, labeled shelf positions, painted floor zones. The system does the remembering so the person doesn't have to.
The color-coding idea turns the rule from a memory task into a visual one. Weigh each box once, mark the lid, and the storage decision is made before you even start lifting. That's the difference between a rule you follow and a rule that follows you.
It costs almost nothing. A pack of colored tape or a set of permanent markers is $5. The weighing is a one-time task that takes an afternoon. After that, the system runs itself.
Let's put the whole thing together. Because Daniel asked for parts, tools, assembly, and budget, and we should be concrete about what we're actually recommending.
The primary recommendation is the redesign. Heavy boxes stay in the golden zone, between knee and shoulder height. Light, bulky items go up top. Color code the lids so the rule is visual. That costs $5 for tape or markers and an afternoon of weighing and marking. No tools required beyond a bathroom scale and a permanent marker.
The secondary recommendation, if he needs to move heavy boxes vertically on a regular basis, is a small scissor lift table rated for 200 kilos. Search for small scissor lift table or hydraulic lift cart on AliExpress or Amazon. Platform at least 60 by 40 centimeters. Budget $200 to $400. That handles the bottom half of the journey, from floor to shoulder height, which is where the safe transfer happens.
The tertiary recommendation is a proper platform ladder for the light items on the top shelf. Search for platform stepladder or podium ladder on Amazon or at a local hardware store, rated for 150 kilos. Budget $100 to $200. The rule is you never carry a box on the ladder. You climb up empty-handed, transfer the box at shoulder height, and climb down.
The tools for the whole thing are minimal. A bathroom scale for weighing boxes, a permanent marker or colored tape for the lids, and that's it. If he goes the winch platform route instead of the scissor lift table, he'll need a drill, a socket set, and a level for the frame assembly. But the winch platform is the budget version, and it's more work to build.
The failure pattern are worth being explicit about, because Daniel asked. The wall-mounted hoist fails by ripping the anchor out of the wall and dropping the box. The manual stacker fails by taking up so much floor space that it never gets used. The dumbwaiter fails by jamming or dropping the load if the alignment is off. The lift table fails by being slightly annoying to position, which is a much better failure pattern. And the redesign fails by being ignored if the color coding isn't visual enough.
The redesign is the only solution where the failure pattern is a back injury from ignoring the rule, which is the same failure pattern as the ladder, but with the rule making it much less likely. The mechanism solutions all have mechanical failure pattern that can hurt you in new and interesting ways. The redesign just asks you to follow a color code.
Let's talk about the open question, because there's one. At what point does the complexity of the mechanism become worth it? If the apartment were owned rather than rented, would a wall-mounted hoist or dumbwaiter ever be the right call? Or is the design-first answer always superior?
I think the design-first answer is always superior for a home, even an owned home. Because the mechanism only pays off if you're moving heavy boxes vertically on a regular basis. And in a home, that's just not a thing that happens. You move boxes in, you unpack, you settle, and then you're moving one box a month at most. The mechanism sits idle for weeks at a time and becomes a piece of furniture you have to maintain.
The real lesson is that storage systems should be designed around the human handling limit, not the available space. Vertical space is only usable if the items going up there are light enough to handle safely. A 3-meter shelf that holds a 20-kilo box isn't storage, it's a trap.
The next time you look at tall shelving, the question isn't how do I get heavy things up there? It's why are heavy things up there at all? And the answer, in a properly designed system, is that they're not.
The total budget is somewhere between $5 and $600, depending on how far Daniel wants to go. $5 for the color coding and the redesign, which is the essential part. $200 to $400 for the scissor lift table if he wants the mechanical assist. $100 to $200 for the platform ladder for the light stuff up top. And the honest answer is that the $5 part is the one that actually solves the problem.
Send us a picture of the color-coded lids when it's done. I want to see the red and green system in action. And thanks to our producer Hilbert Flemingtop for the Slough Warehouse story, which turned out to be the most practical thing in the whole episode.
This has been My Weird Prompts, the Human AI Collaboration Podcast. If you enjoyed this, leave us a review wherever you listen, and we'll see you next time.
Until then, keep the heavy stuff low and the light stuff high.
Never carry a box up a ladder.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.